Blog Talk Radio.
It is Tuesday, February the 20th. Where is the winter going? Hopefully quickly. Anyway, I'd like to welcome to the show my old co-hostess back on Garage Talk Live and host of The Last Lap and one of the founding members of GirlsGarage.com, Sherry Woodington. Sherry, how are you, girl?
Don't forget the author of The Woman's Guide to 2005 NASCAR season.
Oh, that's right. Well, so you,
that's right.
Yeah, I never got a copy of that. What happened? I thought you guys were going to give me an autograph on, and you disappeared on me.
Went on tour. I'm sure I might
that's
have copies
right.
laying around somewhere.
That's right. You left to go finish that up and came back, what? In 2008 to do the last lap at the new and improved.
Oh, yeah.
When was it? 2000 what? Six?
It was 2006, yeah.
To do the last lap at the new and improved WNJC studio. Big
yeah.
difference from the first place, huh?
Yeah, it was. I was like, a lot nicer.
Oh, yeah.
How would you?
Back, that's when I was got promoted to sports director there.
That's a very nice facility, the new facility.
I would have set it up a little different.
Yeah. Well, compared to what we were in.
Yeah. The end of a strip store. Now, then we had a condo. Well, now, you know, WNJC is going by the wayside as far as John Forsythe owning it, and Antonio Muniz, who used to handle all the Spanish programming, he picked up the station.
Oh, nice.
And I think the studio is out of Cherry Hill now.
Yeah, it's a Spanish station now, isn't it?
No, they're still doing what they did before. So if you still wanted to get on, except instead of traveling all the way to Deptford, then now you got to go to Cherry Hill. Had I been up there, I think I would have invested some money and bought it myself.
Right? Yeah.
Condo and all. I wouldn't even have moved it. Tower site. I would have been, me and I think I would have got Ducky to go in, the engineer. I had pictures of him packing that place down. I think, man.
Good times.
Good times. I could have did it and ran it a little better. I'd have got all brand new board and everything too.
Yeah, because they're out introducing our last show. I remember that. It was so much fun though. I like doing that stuff.
Did you run the board on last lap too, or?
No. Karen did it. Yeah. I mean, I could have, but the Karen did it for us. It was easier.
Yeah. That's true. See, the way they had it set up is they had the guests, where they had the board, they should have had that in the other corner so the board op could get to the door quicker, so I'd have to go through everybody around the table.
Oh, wait, at the old one?
No, at the new
one. Oh, yeah, they were all over in the back corner, yeah.
Instead of in the back corner there, switched it to the front corner next to the door so you could duck out.
That's true.
See, I would have set it up to where there was a producer's room in between the studios. This way you can, the producer engineers room, this way the producer can either swap sides and take calls without interrupting the show. But that's me.
I liked the way it was set up the first time, like where you just run it yourself. It was pretty easy. Like in the old building.
Yeah.
I mean, I just sat down to the thing and just figured it out in, like, 5 minutes? It didn't take me long to figure it out.
No.
Well, the reason why we had you do it
is Al kept going into the John and into the other office there and for some woman and never show up for the end of the show.
It was easier that.
Yeah, because that, again, running the board, you were closer to the door and the hosts were up against the wall, so you can duck in and duck out.
Yep.
But anyway, now we're back on the web at blogtalkradio.com/garagetalklive, and I could do it from anywhere, as you saw me on our little FaceTime thing there. Which, I'm sitting up my dining room table.
Comforts of your own home. I'm in the comforts of my own home, too. I just had to kick the cat out of my bedroom.
That's just it.
Today, cat. Get out.
Well, fortunately, my eight has mellowed out a bit.
Your what?
My eight cats have mellowed out. Usually, they're one's trying to help keep me company.
Well, mine was all over me on the bed mauling me, so I'm like, okay, you got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go, bro. I can't do this and pet you at the same time. I love you to death.
One of these days I'm going to figure out to get another computer, and then we can do it. Maybe mute the other computer and still do the FaceTime thing. And this way we can see each other and then go through the phone through the board there.
Yeah, but I could go through my computer. I could just talk right to my, because my FaceTime is actually on my phone. It's not on my computer. Or I could do it through my I could do it through my tablet too, I guess.
Yeah, you could do it through anything. It's basically just Facebook Messenger and chat and just hit the video call.
But yeah, with tablet, you could chat, like have your tablet on at the same time you're hosting.
Yeah. I got an old 3G tablet that came with one of the, when I got one of my, see, before I went to CenturyLink, which is our land-based DSL line, I went through the Verizon wireless hotspot thing with a jetpack. Well, when I got my new laptop, the updates chewed up my data because I was only allowed 5 gig a month on that.
Yeah.
And I had to get something that had unlimited data, so I went to DSL. That's what's in the area, either DSL or Usenet and Exceed, which is satellite. And but that's all download stuff. If you want to upload, you still got to go through a phone line.
Yeah, you don't have Xfinity out there?
No, thank God.
Nah.
Now it's CenturyLink. It's actually, we got Cox Cable here, but they go through. They don't have. They advertise the new fast internet, but in this area, their internet service is CenturyLink. So why go third party?
Okay.
Even with, I got DirecTV, so I could bundle a package there, but. But at least with now it's CenturyLink, I can I got it whittled down to where I'm only paying like $50 a month.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good deal.
And with my Verizon Wireless, I redid to the new Verizon Wireless, and I have basically my wife and I share 2 gig, but what you don't use, it rolls over.
Yeah.
And we're usually in the house on our phones, so using the Wi-Fi, so we don't use much, so it rolls over. And I get a veteran's discount, and I think that's only like $80 a month now instead of 120. I got rid of my my Jersey home line, my home phone connect. But anyway, now we're all hooked up here together once again. I know this is your not your first appearance back since... You know how the show goes. You've done it before, and Daytona kicked off this weekend. Actually, kicked off last weekend with ARCA, but the NASCAR top three went Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and culminating with the Daytona 500 on Sunday, which got kind of interesting there. I don't know, these new stages and... I think causes more trouble than it's worth at Daytona because everybody's trying to get that last stage win. Or the first stage win and the second stage win is you showed last year when Mile and a Half Marty pretty much dominated all the stages and won about 8 races and took home the championship. First one for the Jersey boys.
Yeah. Sorry, I was trying to upload a link for you, but I can't do it. You were talking, I totally wasn't even listening to it. I found an audio link, but I can't upload it. Anyway, so you're talking about Al Martin Truex or Jersey Boy?
Yeah, taking home the championship last year. I mean, after what he's been through with his girlfriend and her ovarian or her cancer and... what she's going through and having to have it come back and then I guess have to go get some more surgery to do that. And then realize at the championships banquet or, you know, after the race when at Homestead, he was saying how he almost packed it in and before, you know, he got the ride over with Furniture Row. And lo and behold, 2 years after getting that ride, he's top of the world.
Yeah, winning a championship is incredible. He's been through a lot. He's been a heck of a year. What do you think
so
about
that? So good to see him. Now comes the defense. I remember I went to Nazareth for the last two races there. One was the Xfinity race, which used to be, I think, called Busch Series. That's how old we are.
Oh, my gosh.
And the Indy race.
Yeah.
And, I was able to get a nice one-on-one with him up there. It was something. He was up there. Kyle Busch was up there because I don't think Kyle Busch made it at a Cup Series yet. Mikey Waltrip was there.
He was. You know, that you heard
English.
You heard Englishtown Blues, right? You heard Englishtown Blues,
no.
Right? That freaked your
heart.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Oh, my God, that hurt. My dad was so upset. He came in and he was just like, "Thick Clues in Bridgeport." I'm like, "No." It's
Bridgeport?
Not so. And I'm sorry, Englishtown, not Bridgeport.
Oh, English. Well, yeah, Tammy told me that because she used to race motocross up there. She's won like 4 championships up there in the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only drag race I ever went to cover was when they were at Englishtown. Have you ever been to a drag race? An NHRA event with Nitro and Funny Cars and Top Fuel?
Have I ever been? Oh, yeah, in my life.
Yeah.
My dad's favorite. You know, that he talked to you about it.
That's
that
right.
Thing, you can feel that in your chest. Like, you can feel your whole body. It's like, not that you can't really go to NASCAR, but because they're so, the Top Fuel goes so fast. They take off and then jets start. You can just feel that. Your whole body just shakes. It's the best feeling in the world.
I've never felt anything like that in my life. And it's like, whoa, that is awesome.
I know it is.
I even tell everybody that's never been to an NHRA event that always used to go to just NASCAR and thinking, you know, when they take the green, the thunder, I said, that's nothing. You get 2 nitro cars at the starting line, you'll never, your whole body will vibrate inside and out.
<You'll, laughs> You can feel it in your throat. It's incredible.
It sure is.
Racing.
I mean, it's like that.
If you love racing, you get the chance. That's something else there.
I wonder if your dad got to listen to the show last week. Erica Enders was on.
No, he probably didn't. My daddy's constantly working all the time. He doesn't take a break to listen to anything. Barely me.
Well, that's what you got the show. There's a
Sorry,
podcast.
I'm busy right now. What?
There's a podcast. As soon as we're done here, it goes to podcast.
Yeah,
I could listen anytime.
Yeah.
The only thing is what I noticed, the intro music or any music that I play, like when you play it back, it sounds like terrible.
Yeah, it's like real soft probably.
Well, it's been a year of coming into the season. NHRA, of course, kicked it off a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sure it was all over the news, the wreck that Brittany Force had.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get her and Robert Height on since they both won the championship. I mean, Brittany Force winning the NHRA championship in the Top Fuel division, that is tough to do, let alone, you know, everybody in the family runs Funny Cars, and she decided to go to Top Fuel, and lo and behold, she's taking home the big crown.
Yeah, she won. She did the whole King Caboodle.
So she won that one. Robert Height, who is John Force's driver as well, won the Funny Car.
Yeah.
So John Force gets 2 owner's trophies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Of course, the last time John won was 2013 for his 16th Funny Car Championship.
He's not racing. Did you say John Force or did you say John?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
John Force.
Sorry. Like, I haven't seen him behind the wheel in a long time.
Well, he's out there every week. He kind of was a little bummed when Brittany flipped in round one there, but
yeah.
You know, last year was the first time since Brittany Force ran that I had her on, and she won Rookie of the Year. She called in, and Height called in last year, and they both won championships.
Hey, that's no coincidence. It's who calls in this year. You'll be able to claim the winner.
Yeah. Well, even and when, because I first had Robert, you know, the PR guy, offered them up to me when they were driving for, you know, Fords back in 09 and 2010. And I'm going to turn down an offer to interview John Force on the air? No.
No.
You don't get the king of drag racing.
Yeah.
Well, Robert Height called in regularly in 09. So did John and Ashley and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Height won the Funny Car Championship. 2010, they all, you know, John called in a bit, and it was before Courtney and Brittany started, and Ashley and Robert called in. In 2010, John won the championship. So,
wow.
And I got to go in there at a. I got to find on my old computer. I do have an ID from John Force.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, that's one thing I always used to do. Whenever I got a one-on-one, hey, could you do an ID for me? I didn't care who it was.
Cool.
But anyway,
I remember. That's funny you say that, because I just, now that you say that, like, I remember us doing that.
Mm-hmm. See, it's
like,
always
hey,
good to
you
get
our call letters. Yep. Well, you know, NHRA added two new drag races to their to the schedule for this year.
Yep.
One in South
Virginia
Carolina and one in North Carolina. What?
Virginia International Raceway on the east side. I thought that one took.
For this season, they're going to go to South Carolina, the Carolina Dragway. It's in Aiken, South Carolina, or Aiken, however you say it. And
yeah.
The Piedmont Dragway in North Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah, so they just got two more.
And
cool.
And they go to VIR, which is near Richmond.
Yeah.
You know which one I want to go to? Thunder Valley in Bristol.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yep.
I'm 90 miles away. I'm an hour and a half drive from Bristol.
Wow. That's cool. I love Bristol. I love Martinsville.
I remember it was one year when I started the show.
Are you closer to Martinsville, or are you closer to Richmond?
I'm closer to Bristol.
How are you? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I made it. Bristol is only, I'm 20 miles away than when I was at Dover. I'm that close to Bristol.
Wow.
It was 70 miles from my house to Dover. I'm 90 miles from my house to Bristol. Now I could do Martinsville because I don't know, but I don't know the back roads. I'd have to shoot down 77, head east on 58, which is a rural route, and shoot that way. And I'm 3 hours from Charlotte.
Wow, you're only 3 hours from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yep.
Wow.
And one of the things I want to go to is the NHRA 4-Wide Nationals. That's where they get four nitro cars at the start-finish line, taking off 11,000 horsepower apiece. What's that?
So basically, what you're telling me is when I go to pick up JJ in the summer, I can shoot right over to your house.
Or when you drop him off and head back. Yeah, probably easier that way. Well, you go, how do you go down to Charlotte, 85?
I don't even know. GPS. Yeah, 95. To 86, I think it is, or something.
Yeah, it's 95 to 85. See, when I come down
that's
here to find this place, I go across the PA Turnpike to 81, and then shoot 81 down, and then jump on 77. See, I'm off of 77 between Bluefield, West Virginia, and Whitfield, Virginia. That's like the big hub, Whitfield. You got 81 and 77 crisscross in there.
Got it.
If you want to Google my zip code, it's 24314. Bastion.
So you guys got hot weather down there this week, too?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. It's going to be 75 today. Sun is out.
Here in beautiful Franklinville, New Jersey. It's also 70-some degrees.
I sit here on a mountain with 11 acres around me.
I sit here on a hill with 4 acres all around me.
And my property taxes, see here they have personal property tax, which is your vehicles, but that in combined is under $2,000 a year, where my property tax on my little quarter acre lot was almost like $8,000 a year.
That's great. That is awesome. Yeah, it's expensive up here, or over here, or down here, or whatever the heck it is.
It's up there for me. It's down here for me.
Yeah, okay. Up here.
I mean, it's up there for me, down. It's down here for you. I'm down here, you're up there. Well, anyway, let's talk about some racing there.
Yeah, Daytona.
Daytona.
Wow. Didn't see that one coming, huh?
No, I mean, it got kind of wild there at the end of the stage.
Yeah.
What's that?
It was great. It was great to see the three back in victory lane, huh? Been a long time, 20 years.
20 years, and here's what gets me, though. I mean, it's kind of bittersweet to see the three. Makes you wonder why they brought it back. But you see the three in victory lane, and then in second, you got the 43.
Yep, yep. Good old Bubba. Bubba Jr.
He looks like he's going to be
forced to reckon
with. He might have found the right fit with Petty Enterprises there.
Yeah, not only that, but, like, I watched a video clip of him in the media center, and his mom, love her to death, she's cute as heck, came into the media center as he's getting ready to sit down. They're asking him, you know, what his thoughts were on the race. His mama comes in, she's like crying, hysterical, and he's hugging her. And they're like embracing, and you watch it all on camera for like a minute. And she's like, I'm so proud of you, I'm so proud of you. And all you hear him whisper to her is, Mama, you act like I won the race. She's like, you did. She's like, Mama, I came in second. She's like, you won. It was so adorable and so cute. I'm like, yep. That would be most mothers, I'm sure. She was so happy he won that race. Her game in second. It was funny. She acts like he won. But he was emotionally crying. He couldn't even answer the questions they were asking him because he was in tears because he couldn't believe everything he had been through to try to get into that car and then came in second. And then he told a story about how he was in the, you know, at the race. You know, you got to go to the in-care, you know, center. And he walked in, and Richard Petty walked in and said, what did I tell you before the race? And he's like, I don't know, I don't remember. He's like, I told you don't wreck my car. And then he started laughing. I thought that was funny. He was only kidding, obviously, but that was pretty cool.
Well, we have a little clip of Darrell Wallace Jr., and
okay.
Let's see if we got that part you were talking about.
Okay.
If I can have your attention in the media center and up in the press box, we are now joined by the runner-up for today's 60th annual Daytona 500 here at Daytona International Speedway. And it's none other than Darrell Wallace Jr., driver of the number 43 click-and-close Chevrolet for Richard Petty Motorsports. Not only was Darrell the highest finishing Sunoco rookie in the race today, but he's also the highest finishing African American driver in the Great American Race. The second place finish.
History.
Besting the previous mark set by NASCAR Hall of Famer Wendell Scott in 1966. Bubba, that was a wild race out there, wild finish. Walk through this final lap for us.
Daytona, Jesus Christ.
I'm We'll pause that for a little bit. There, we got it.
Yes. That was pretty good.
Yeah, but, you know, but the way it looked, though, it looked like it was Ryan Blaney's race.
Yeah, sure did.
And, you know, I'm kind of partial to the Penske crew anyway, because Roger Penske being from our area originally, out in Reading. And, of course, he owns that the Turnersville car dealership group over there on
okay.
on the Black Horse Pike. That's Penske.
You learn something new every day. I didn't know that.
And, yeah, that like, he redid that whole place. They put for test drives, they got a road course between the dealers behind there.
Okay.
It's pretty neat. But with Blaney, though, you know, he led the stage, and then he had a little incident towards the end because he was doing battle with, forget who he was doing battle with. I'm trying to find the statue. They don't, with somebody, and he did wound up, back in the pack. Wound up, where is he?
Who? Who you talking about?
Ryan Blaney.
Ryan Blaney? He ended up...
I was just looking at it. 18th.
Yeah, 18th.
He didn't lead, but... And then you had Alex Bowman on the pole, another rookie, in the 88. Chase Elliott was doing pretty good.
And where did he end up? I don't even know where he ended up. I'm looking at this.
I'm looking at the wrong.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute.
You know what?
Eight.
I'm looking at the wrong stat. I thought I had to.
Yeah, 18 was Martin Truex Jr.
That's right. Oh, I know. There we go. Now I'll get the right page.
Doesn't even stay Blaney's not even on here. I don't know why Blaney's not on here. Because mine says 40.
He wound up seventh.
Oh, okay.
He wound up seventh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he led
and
stage
Bowman
one.
Ended up, and where did our polls our pollster ended up 17th?
Yeah. But he got gathered up in a wreck because he was doing pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, do you have that clip I sent you? You could play that or no? The one of Dale Jr. talking about Austin Dillon in the number three and
sure.
winning in victory lane?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Okay. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's why Mom and I switched and saved with Geico.
You sound like
Got to wait for the ad to play. I should have queued it up.
Yeah. Okay. They all start with Geico commercials.
They pay
a
lot
of
money.
It's a Geico commercial.
They told a car owner, not a bad way to kick off your first season as a retired driver. So just tell me what it's like to see Kyler go to victory lane in his first start with you guys.
I'm happy for Kyler and his team. You know, he's got a great opportunity this year, and I know he wants to make the best of it, and this is a great way to get started. So I'm thrilled for him. He's a really good guy. So we're excited about this season with him, and to start it off this way is good for us, good for Junior Motorsports, great for all our employees, what this does for our company, Junior Motorsports. Real happy right now.
I was talking about Elliott Sadler. Brad's made in that championship. Man, he was so close to winning this thing. Can you kind of take us through the mentality of a driver that just comes so close?
Yeah, those kind of finishes are going to eat him alive for a long, long time. I mean, there's really no other way around it. You know, you think about those probably more than you think about the win. What could have been finishes and so forth are the ones that sort of nag you for a long time. You're going to think about the last couple laps and what he might have could have tried differently to win the race. But he's a competitor, and one thing I know – about Elliott is that type of experience makes him come back stronger. And just like the end of the season last year, he's more furious as a competitor this year, I think, because of that. And he wants to win so badly for his team and his guys. And I want to see him deliver that success for his team and for himself. So we're all hoping that he'll get in victory lane soon.
All right, not a bad night for Junior Motorsports and Dale's buddy Alex Bowman. Starts the 500 from the pole tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick driving for Junior. I mean, Junior's got a very good Xfinity stable.
Yeah.
And the guy interviewing him.
I thought it was, though.
And the guy interviewing him was Jonathan Merriman. He used to do sports out of Roanoke, so that's my local NBC station here.
That's cool. Well, I have what I thought that was supposed to be. I thought that was a clip of him talking about Austin winning the Daytona 500, but it says here Dale Coyne Jr. said, "This is so awesome to take the three back to victory lane. This one is for Dale Earnhardt fans and all those senior fans. I love you guys. We're going to keep kicking butt the rest of the year." That's what he said. That's what Dale Jr. said about the three, I think. That's what he said. Somebody said that. You know that he was Richard Childress had actually asked Dale and Kelly if it was okay if he drove the three.
That's why
he wasn't going
to ask David with Geico.
You sound like a guy.
Sorry about that. It came up with a bunch of videos. I was going to see if it was going to find one, but go ahead.
I watched a video of Richard Childress talking, and as he said that he asked Dale and Kelly before he allowed Austin to even drive the number three. He wanted their approval before he put his grandson in that car, and they both gave him the green light to do it. So, I mean, they wanted them to bring the three out of retirement, and they were happy that he was going to drive it. So I guess that's good. And then to see their dad's car in victory lane at the Daytona 500, which his father had done a few times before, I'm sure that was good to see.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the deal, too. When Junior decided to leave DEI, and we could all blame Teresa for what went wrong there,
mm-hmm.
If he would have went to Richard Childress instead of Hendrick, he would have had that car.
For himself, yeah.
I think Richard would have said, Richard would have wanted him to drive that car, whether Dale Jr. would have not wanted him to do it. And he says, well, it would have been his birthright. Now, he didn't say this, this is my words, but it would have been carrying on the legacy. But, see, Dale wanted to do it with his own car, and Teresa wouldn't give up the number 8 for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Maybe because she owned the merchandising, and, I mean, she kind of ruined that team, and they're no longer around. But even though it's still ECR engine, which is Earnhardt and Childress, a collaboration which happened way back in the day, when Junior signed on with Hendrick, I mean, they both had a void to fill. I mean, Rick Hendrick just lost Ricky in a plane crash.
Yeah.
Junior lost his dad, so it was kind of more like a father-son type of thing when he went there. And then that was nice of the Yates to give up the 88 because Junior couldn't have the 8. And because that was kind of, I think Dale Jarrett was using that one prior to that before he retired. Or somebody was.
Yeah.
Whoever was driving that car, I know you people have had it.
Dale Jarrett,
Yeah, he was the last one to have that, so.
It's funny because you look over the. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I look over this list of drivers. Now we'll go back to 2005. Some of them are still on here, but like all the big drivers who used to drive are really not even on this list anymore. You know, it's all new up-and-comers. I mean, there are a few, you know, old names I see, but for the most part, it's a lot of new people.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of, I figure what, No Kenseth. Carl Edwards left, which kind of shocked me just before. I mean, when Edwards left, it was kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on the verge of a championship, and him and Logano got together and wrecked each other, and that's when Jimmy Johnson got his seventh.
I mean, there are some names, but, like, over the years, Brad Keselowski, he's come up. He's not new, but, I mean, he's been a couple of years, but he wasn't back then. He was trying to drive the Busch Series back then.
That's right. Sorry, he drove for Dale Jr. to begin with.
Yep.
I mean, Danica Patrick drove for Dale Jr. before she went to Stewart.
Yeah, now she's retired.
and she went out in a wreck like she usually does.
Yeah.
But the thing about that, when Danica was driving for Dale Jr., there was another young lady with an underfunded team that always outperformed her, Johanna Long.
Yeah.
And Johanna always used to come on the show.
Okay.
Well, you know, I try to get anybody and everybody. If I could promote a young lady moving forward in the sport, then, you know, because in NASCAR, they got a tougher time now. You can go to the NHRA and they're winning championships and races.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, yeah, they don't want to make it in NASCAR, and it's kind of a lot tougher, especially with the money involved, but.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Seems like any more, instead of a team getting a sponsor, the driver has to bring one with them. I mean, Paul Menard bringing Menards, of course, and Michael Annette bringing Flying J and Pilot. That's his family owned. His family owns them.
Yeah.
And what's his
Jeffrey
name?
Jeffrey Earnhardt now. He's new. I mean, he's been racing. I mean, he's not new. I mean, he always raced, but he never raced in NASCAR.
He did, but he was always in the. It was always
truck, right?
He went from the trucks to Xfinity. This is his first big time ride. He
used
to do the show too. I got to get him. I can get him back on.
Who's he racing?
He is the only Earnhardt driving in the sport today. So. If you want anything from the name Earnhardt, you got to go to Jeff.
Yeah.
But that's it's pretty interesting how all the veterans
are
leaving and the new guys are getting their rides.
Their kids or nephews or whatever, they're all racing now. You got Ryan Blaney, who's his dad. Obviously, it's Heavy Dave, right? Or his uncle, somebody, right?
It's his dad.
Okay.
Ryan Truex in the Xfinity Series, Marty's brother. He's starting to move on up. I remember when he used to run at Dover in the Truck Series.
Chase Elliott.
Bill's son.
Elliott, name in racing. Yeah. Yep. There's some name. I seen Ryan Blaney. He was racing in the. I mean, not Ryan. I'm sorry. Ryan Newman. He raced in number 31. Yeah. Is that right?
Yep, he came in eighth.
Yep. And Brennan Gaughan, not that I think he finished the race, but I was shocked to see. He was, 2005, he used to drive. He was, like, contender for the championship in the Craftsman Truck Series.
Yeah, and in the last race of the year, he got into a wreck, and Travis Quappel wound up taking that crown that year.
They ended up coming in 28th in the race, so.
I know, it was like a one-off. He said he's not running full-time. He was there on vacation. No, he was there on vacation. Just happened to pull up the 62 Chevy with his family business.
Same number.
The South Point Hotel Casino.
Yeah.
He was always a good talker, though. Whenever, if you ever got a chance to interview him, I did a few times.
I did. Yeah, he is.
You could put him in the thing with Kenny Wallace.
Yeah.
Good old Herm. But
true story.
John Force, another one. You ask him a question, you got 10-minute interview.
Go on
just,
and on,
just
right?
And relax. And Courtney, his daughter,
is
the same way.
Who? Brittany?
John Force's daughter, Courtney.
Oh, Courtney. Okay.
She's the same. She's got that gift of gab. Brittany's a little more laid back, and well, Courtney and Graham Rahal are a couple. So you got the Indy driver who can brag about 250, and then you got the funny car driver who could brag about going 330.
So, yeah. Well, it didn't look like the Bush brothers fared too well. 25th and 26th. What's up?
Well, you know, actually, Kurt had a good running car to begin with, but
these are names that should, you know, these are names that used to be. I see all the names that were Jimmy Johnson, the Bush brothers, Casey Kane, Ryan Newman. These are all the names from years ago. Clint Boyer. You know, these are all the Jamie McMurray. They're all the people who have always been in racing, and none of them really fared too well in the race.
Go look at the accident.
Casey Kane came in 34th. I mean, Jimmy Johnson crashed, came in 38th. Kevin Harvick, another one, he came in 31st.
Yeah, Casey Kane, Chase Elliott, and Danica were involved in the same wreck there on lap 101. Or,
I mean, Jamie McMurray, I think, was his only. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And then on lap 59, right before the end, the last lap before the end of stage one, it was Jimmy Johnson, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, and Ty Dillon. And it was like Eric Jones and Daniel Suarez. There's two Joe Gibbs cars out right there.
Yeah.
Kurt was involved in a wreck. Kyle just had problems.
Yeah, so
I guess he got banged up
from the same incident.
And then Kyle got banged up in a wreck, but they got him back out, so he wound up making 200 laps. I guess he couldn't finish any higher, so he parked it after that.
Yeah, and then Jimmy Johnson got taken out on lap 60. Nine car pile up. So,
yeah, I think.
But out of all those names I just gave you, Clint Boyer finished, he was still running, and Jamie McMurray finished 16th, and he was still running. It's crazy.
And both of them were
Ryan Newman, obviously, he finished 8th, but, like, those three names were the top names, you know, and they weren't even in the top 10, except for Ryan Newman, obviously.
And you only had 10 cars on the lead lap.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you said it.
Hey, A.J. Allmendinger was the last guy on the lead lap in 10th. Michael McDowell was, well, let's run him down. Yeah. Austin Dillon, of course, taking the checker. Darryl Bubba Wallace Jr., number 2. Denny Hamlin. Yeah, he was battling up front all day, taking 3rd. Joey Logano was another one battling. Then you have Chris Buescher, who is a guy that just moved up last year in the 37. He came in 5th. Paul Menard, who is now driving for the Wood Brothers after leaving Childress, finished 6th. Of course, Ryan Blaney, who actually led the most laps, 5 times for 118 laps, took stage 1. He wound up 7th. He made a bad decision on while he was leading. He went to what Darrell Waltrip calls the sucker hole, the middle, and everybody went around him, and nobody went with him, so he got shuffled back a bit. And Newman 8th and Michael McDowell 9th, and like I said, and A.J. Allmendinger rounded out the top 10 in the 47. I think him and Chris Buescher are teammates. I could be wrong.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, I think Allmendinger and Chris Buescher are teammates, if I'm not mistaken.
Allmendinger and who?
Chris Buescher.
Let me look on my list here. Front Row Motorsports?
Yeah.
Hendricks, no.
Okay, Hendricks?
Hendricks. Looks like Allmendinger drives for Hendricks, right? Oh, no, I'm sorry, by the way. JTG. Yes, yeah, they do. Yes, yeah, the same racing. I had my notes fixed up. I'm sorry. Yeah, probably.
Oh, that's okay. When you get a,
yeah, yeah, they drive the same team.
When you you have to shuffle through stuff.
Yeah, I mixed. Yeah, the list didn't drop down. The menu didn't drop down when I hit it. But yeah, they both drive for JTG.
Chris Buescher was with one of the Roush Xfinity teams before he moved to the Cup Series. But somebody's offered him a ride, you take it.
Yep. True story. So where are we at next week?
Next week we're going to Atlanta.
Atlanta. Baby. Ooh, Atlanta. Nah, nah. That's a song. Well, maybe
let me just play one more clip.
Oh, cool.
Let me play. I was going to go to the winner, but they got the whole team there, and sometimes they don't get to the winner. I got to figure a way to chop out the winner because I don't want to have to hear Childress and Justin Alexander. I just want to hear what.
Yeah, so now you have to fast forward up to where they talk, yeah.
Yeah. That's something I got to work on a little bit. But next week we're going to go to Atlanta. And that's the only race. Atlanta used to have two. Now they only have one.
Okay.
And Brad Kay took this event last year. And who led the most laps? Harvick, believe it or not.
Wow.
We'll look for our pick. So we can make our picks before the end of the show here. But you know who's the king of mile and a half?
He's the king.
The eighth place finisher. Mile and a half, Marty Truex.
Yeah. My computer just shut down a moment. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I have no stats,
nothing. I'm like, uh-oh. I can't even bring up the radio show on my computer.
When I did the show out of NJC Studios, when I went to the day job, I used to print it all out. That's why I have to rely on clicking different screens. It's easier when it's right there.
Yep.
So I don't know. Who do you go with? Do you go with Harvick, who led the most? Do you go with Truex, who ruled the mile and a half? Or do you go with, I mean, out of a 325-lap race, it was Harvick's to lose. He led both stages. He actually did in that race what Truex did all last year, win both stages and win a few races. But in this one, Harvick, who finished right behind Truex in that race, Truex didn't even lead a lap.
Yeah.
Harvick actually started from the pole and led most of the laps. So, you know, these bonus points with the playoff points that carry over, it takes a little bit to figure out. I don't even know who I want to go with. I mean, who do you want to go with? That's why I could pick somebody different.
Oh, you suck. I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin. I just think he's really
going
to
go with Denny Hamlin.
I don't know. I think he's got a really good car. He drives for Joe Gibbs Racing, so why not?
All right. Well, then I'll go with Harvick.
Where did he come in? He came in third at Daytona, did he not? Where did he come in?
He came in third at Daytona. Where did he come in Atlanta? We're going to a whole different setup here.
I just think that he's from maybe somebody to watch this year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can't count
exactly.
Any of the Gibbs drivers out, though.
You go with the sure bet. I'm going to go with the underdog, and we're going to meet up next week and see who wins.
All right. Next week, we're going to have on the show, you like monster trucks?
Yeah, we don't like monster trucks. I'm going to start riding a monster truck over at Bridgeport.
Well, joining
Who's
the show next week is driver of the Monster Mutt Dalmatian, Cynthia Gauthier.
Oh, cool.
It's not her first go-around with Garage Talk Live. She was offered to me by a former co-host that, due to our different schedules, when I did the night show, she used to co-host with me, and she wound up taking her son to the monster trucks, and they became fans of Cynthia's, and she got her to me, and I was just was able to book her yesterday for next week. So go check out her page. It's I'll just send you the link when I get off the air. How's
Thank
that?
You. It's easier. Yeah.
She just won the freestyle competition at Monster Jam this past weekend. So
cool. So next week I'm going to call in, and you know, obviously I'm in school, so I can't do the show every week. But next week I'm going to call in, and I'm going to do my Horsepower Hero of the Week. So I think
okay,
we'll shine Atlanta.
So you could join us the second half. This way, you, by the time we get done school, you can time to go get yourself set up. And
yep. Sounds like
and
a plan.
And Cynthia will be on at noon.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to her stuff. And you ought to see it. She went to – she took up welding, and she makes – she didn't go to be a – an artist, but she makes like flowers out of welded stuff. It's really neat.
Awesome.
And she's
cool.
And she's a, like I said, a badass monster truck driver.
Very.
That's why we cover all motorsports on this show. This way,
no one feels left out.
That's why I started out as NASCAR, but then I started expanding back in the day. So that's why you always get different guests. And in the off season, we get we have had Anne Marie Rhodes on, who was one of the first Miss Sprint Cups.
Mm-hmm.
Now she hosts Gallery of Guns on Sportsman Channel.
Yeah.
And then
that's cool.
I could actually say I've had every Miss Sprint Cup on this show.
I believe
including, including the current Mrs. Chad Knaus.
Wow. Very nice.
She used to come, I used to say, I need a Miss Sprint Cup. Who can I have? Then they say, oh, Brooke Werner. So she'd always come on, and after a while I just started requesting her. And now she's Mrs. Chad Knaus. I wonder why she left the Miss Sprint Cup team abruptly. You're not supposed to date the drivers or team members, so.
Yep.
And that's what happened. So she became Mrs. Knaus. I saw that and I was like, oh, cool. So.
How convenient.
I remember the time you guys got him on the show 4 days before Christmas.
Yep. That old. We talked a lot back then, before he met Sprint Cup.
That's when he was a brash young crew chief and just about on his way to his first title.
Yeah, it was.
That was it, the old WNJC, not the new and improved one.
Yep.
All right, so you're going to go with Denny Hamlin.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick. I was going to go with Truex. Okay. You know what, maybe I'll change that to Truex.
Okay. Better write it down
right.
So we know next week.
Write it down. I'll go put our picks up on the Garage Talk Live page.
Okay, there you go. So when Denny Hamlin finishes before Truex, and I win.
Then you get to stick your tongue out at me and go, na 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 na.
That's right. You know me so well. Then I can showboat.
Okay.
Who won?
He'll probably be your Horsepower Hero of the Week.
Well, my Horsepower Hero of the Week this week obviously has to be Austin Dillon. So, I mean, really. But that kind of finish in the number three, it's just legendary.
Yeah.
He did good. It's one of those, you did good, kid.
He did good.
Moment.
Yeah, you got to go with like that, especially in that race. 20 years later, you know, it's like I probably would have went with Ryan Blaney, who had a good day, but you gotta give it to Austin Dillon.
That's right. That's iconic moment right there.
Yeah.
All the time. So we'll
all
see,
right,
though.
Well,
might be the beginning of something new. Yeah,
we'll
1 o'clock.
Check it out.
Yes, you will.
Well, say goodbye to everybody. Sherry,
bye, everybody.
Good having you back, girl. I missed you, you know. It's.
Thanks for having me.
I figured a couple of times I had you on prior, you were getting the inkling to want to do more, so.
Yep. Here I am. I'm back.
You're back. Want to plug the Kensington mission?
Yeah. Any donations, clothes, food, anything, you can call me at 609-501-9368. We feed the homeless every Monday from 1 to 4. So give me a call and hook us up.
There you go. All right, sir. This is Vince. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live. Check out the podcast. Go to blogtalkradio.com/garagetalklive, and it will be the top show. Give it about a half an hour to upload, then you can listen anytime. So if you miss it live, you don't have to miss it ever. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.